Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Larry Kay and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 27, paragraph 4. Today's readers are Deb W. on the 12 Steps, Anita L. on the 12 Traditions, and the three readers of the text today in order are Penny C., Hoodie R., and Renata G. The reference number for yesterday, which was Tuesday, February 2nd, is 8430. That's 8430. So the OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Let me now ask Deb W. to get us started with the 12 steps. Deb? And Deb, I need for you to unmute. We can't hear you.
Am I unmuted now?
I can hear you. I gotcha.
Good morning. This is Deb W., recovered from Oklahoma. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Deb. And let me now ask Anita L. if you would read the 12 traditions. Anita?
Good morning. Anita L. from Philadelphia, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita. So let me tell you how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. And of course, we're on page 27. We're on the fourth paragraph. It starts with, "Yes," replied the doctor. And Penny C is going to get us started. She's going to read through three paragraphs, and then our comments are going to be on the second and third paragraphs that Penny reads. So I pass the baton over to Penny C.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, everybody on the line. It's Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. "Yes," replied the doctor, "there is. Exceptions to cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be the nature of a huge emotional displacements and rearrangements, ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding force of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. In fact, I have been trying to produce some emotional rearrangement within you. With many individuals, the methods which I employ are successful, but I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description." Upon hearing this, our friend was somewhat relieved, for he reflected that after all, he was a good church member. This hope, however, was destroyed by the doctors telling him that while his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. Here was the terrible dilemma in which our friend found himself when he had the extraordinary experience, which, as we have already told you, made him a free man. These two last paragraphs that I just read are very meaningful to me because that was my experience when I first came to OA and heard the 12 steps and realized, and I heard people talking about, you know, spiritual experience and spiritual recovery, and I thought I had it made because I had so much religious background and training and was brought up in a very, very strict religious family, went to religious school. I mean, how could I not succeed? And just like Roland has it here, I was really kind of whipped down when I realized that all that religion did not spell spirituality. It was the first time in my whole life that I had ever realized that there was a difference between spiritual and religious. And from there, once I got that concept and began to, as my sister would always say, you're chasing spirituality. And it's exactly what I did. If I recognized it in another member, I would want to know, how did you get it? What can I do? And eventually I got the concept. I understood it. I felt it. And just like Roland has it, and what they're saying in this third paragraph that I read, that I found myself having had an extraordinary experience, spiritual experience, that I was a free woman, not in the bondage to the food as I had been. And what a wonderful life for so many years. Food has not been my God, has not kept me in chains, as it were. And I'll be forever grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Penny, thanks so much. So before we I start taking some names here, just a reminder where we are. We're on page 27. Penny read four paragraphs, starting with "Yes, replied the doctor," and we're going to comment on the second and third paragraphs that she read. So with that, who would like to share on what was read?
This is Bella. Can I share?
Jan.
Tina S.
from Boston.
Suzanne K. Jersey, please.
Minky.
Katie G.
Fasa.
Okay, let me tell you who I have. Let me hold it right there. Okay, so I think I might have missed a name, but I think I have about six or seven people. So I had, in this order, I had Bella, Jan, I believe, Tina, Katie, Suzanne, Minky, and Vasa. Did I miss anybody? Okay, so why don't we go with that for the first round? So let's start with Bella G, and then we'll follow that up with Jan. Bella?
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Larry. My name is Bella G, and I'm a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Larry, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. Made him a free man. Wow. Yes, this is what I feel now, a free woman. Yes, before being in the program, I had God in my life, but I didn't even call him a power. For me, God was something very scary, very, very not a good something. I was afraid from this God. For me, God was a punishing God. And I was all the time in competition with this God because I wanted to prove him that I know better than him, that I can do what he cannot do. I can take care on my life. And obviously, it didn't work out. So I was angry. I was jealous. I was scared. One thing for sure, I wasn't happy and I wasn't a free woman. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that now that I'm in the program and I live the 12 steps. And yes, I live the 12 steps 24/7. I am a free woman because I am connected to God, to a loving, accepting, respecting power. Yes, and I know that God is happy with me and God trusts me. And yes, I am not God. I am not a higher power. I am human, and I am limited. And thank you, God, that through this, the steps, I found a loving power, not a punishing God. Yes, thank you, God, that now I am connected to this, to the love, to the freedom, and not to my ego. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. So next we'll have Jan, followed by Tina. Jan, you're up.
Good morning. I'm Jan S. from St. Augustine, Florida, and I want to thank you all for all that you do for this beautiful meeting every day. Thank you, Larry, for leading, and thank you for everyone who reads and does service. I really love this passage because for me, in program for 34 years, it took me a very long time to totally surrender. And like he said, you know, he just, is there any other way, you know? And for me, the gates of hell had to close down on me before I finally accepted the fact that I was totally, totally powerless over the food and the eating behaviors, and that the only thing that would help me would be that phenomenon. If I was imprisoned by the phenomenon of craving, the phenomenon of what happens when I take that first bite after the whole mental obsession and then the physical craving, I had to have some sort of phenomenon in my life that was bigger than that. And that is the God of my understanding today. And my higher power is that phenomenon that has granted me the changes in my thinking and the mental shift and the whole understanding and clarity of his will in my life, not mine. And it has been such a peaceful, freeing experience to live my life with a peaceful mind and a peaceful heart, because when I do that and I work those steps, the food does not call to me. It absolutely does not call to me. So for me, I am grateful for the God of my understanding that is truly the phenomena in my life that has made all the difference. And when I first came into program, that was the part I just wanted to skip. Oh, okay, I'll just skip the spiritual part and just do the physical and the emotional. You know, I wasn't ready. It took me a long time to get ready. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for OA. Thank you, God, for AA. And I'm so happy to be sharing today. So God bless everyone, and I pass.
Thanks, Jan. Appreciate that. So we got Tina. You're stepping up to the plate, and Katie, you're on deck. Tina.
Thanks, Larry. Tina S. from Florida. Grateful. Compulsive eater. What I'm identifying for her, compulsive eater, anorexic, and grateful to share on the line today. You know, when I got to Overeaters Anonymous, I come in and, you know, I had already been in another 12-step program. And so, you know, originally I thought this whole deal in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous was about religion. And I'm really grateful that, you know, this explanation is here. This is not a religious program, but a spiritual one, because then I have a chance. Before that, I had no chance. I had a terrible dilemma, you know, just like Roland. And, you know, today I have an opportunity one day at a time to successfully not participate in my disease of compulsive eating or anorexia. And it's only through the 12 steps. And for me, you know, because AA and Alcoholics Anonymous and the Big Book does not have monopoly on God, this is what works for me so that I find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. And that's happened. And it happens one day at a time. And I'm so very grateful. And again, thanks. And I pass.
Thank you so much. And Katie, you're up. And then followed by Suzanne. Katie?
Correct.
I'm just going to ask people, Katie, before you get started, if you could just mute your phone when you're done speaking. I hear some background noise. Katie, press star one to unmute, please. Okay, maybe we'll come back to Katie, or maybe I'm hearing things. Suzanne, you'd be up next, and we can come back to Katie. If not, we'll move on to Minky. So, Suzanne, you're up.
Hi, I'm Suzanne, a compulsive eater. Can you hear me, Larry?
I can, Suzanne.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much. Thanks for everyone being on the line. Thanks for your service. And I loved hearing Penny share on the reading. When I came into program, I didn't realize that you needed to find a spiritual power or something greater than you. And with that, I was a little confused because I really just wanted to lose weight when I came into the program. However, when you told me I needed to have a spiritual experience and understand that, I really didn't get it, but I listened, and I have found that, you know, I do have something greater than me. I don't know how to define it, but it is there, and I just learn every day what I need to do. And I just wanted to say good morning and claim my seat here. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Larry,
okay.
It's Katie. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Katie. It's no one else can, but I can hear you. No, you go ahead.
It's Katie D.
Katie, we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you for some reason.
All right, give me one. Okay.
Sure.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. Katie D. Recovered compulsive overeater and an ex-sick and bulimic, calling in from Cancun, Mexico, typically in Boston, Bath. I guess what I really wanted to chime in on is I came in here and it was really easy to get a diet right, to go on a meal plan and to get the diet, and I didn't understand that I had to let go of my entire way of living my life, that my way of dominating my life, the way I grew up, guys, is I need to fight for me, I need to fight for my rights, I need to fight for what it is that I need, and if you get in my way, get out of my way, because I'm going to fight you, I don't care. And then when my fight didn't win, I would eat, and eating was my coping mechanism. Or when my fight didn't win, I would exercise, and exercise was my coping mechanism. The other thing I didn't understand is that me wanting to change, me willing myself to change, never worked. Because let me tell you guys, a year ago at this time, I was exercising addictively and living a dishonest life, and every night on my 11th step, I was telling my community, I am being dishonest with my exercise, I'm over-exercising, I need help, and I wasn't changing. And a ton of pain that I throw up my hands and I say, you know what, I can't manage it anymore. I can't manage it. And all of my old concepts about I'm only okay if I'm a thin woman, people will only love me if I'm a thin woman, I'm not good enough, I'm going to be abandoned, all those old concepts have to be surrendered, right? And new concepts have to come. And that has come to me through daily working of the 12 steps, through going through the steps formally on a regular basis. And the steps are the way of life, and also the tools. The only way I get through the tools, through and to the tools every day is, number one, entire abstinence. I don't understand what I'm not. I'm either pregnant or I'm not. And working the steps every day, which is, you know, taking quiet time, calling others, going to meetings, no matter what this disease, and my recovery comes first, and thy will, not mine, be done. It is no longer the Katie Gia show for today. Thank you, God. And with that, I pass.
Katie, thanks so much. So we have Minky up next, and followed by Vasa. Minky?
Hi, good morning. It's Minky, recovered compulsive overeater, grateful to be here. Thanks, Larry, for your service, and thanks to everybody on the line. So there's two things that I wanted to share. One of them is it talks about the terrible dilemma. And for me, the terrible dilemma is what I'm in fear, and I'm not really sure of what to do. And I know that I don't know what to do because I'm in fear. And my life becomes unmanageable, and it's only when I turn my will and my life over to the care of God, or being willing to believe there's a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. And not only does he care about the world and everybody else, but he does care about Minky, and he does care about Minky's little problems, and he does care about Minky's food. And I'm so grateful that we have the steps that can take me out of fear and put me back into faith. This is just such a miraculous program. It's really, really miraculous, but I got to do the work. And the other thing is, when I came into Vision for You, the last sentence said, I laughed when it said, made him a free man. And when I came into Vision for You, I was like, I called somebody in program in Vision for You, and I said, why are all you guys screaming throughout the whole meeting? Like, whoa. And she's like, well, we're so excited that we got the solution, and we're so excited that we're free, that we're just so passionate and we're so excited about this. Should we maybe go to the rooftops and yell about this thing that we've been free? And I really get it now. Like, this practical program of action and this meeting has really helped me be a free woman and has helped me walk the face of this earth and helped me walk through my challenges and get from one side to the other side every single solitary day. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Minky. We got Vasa next, and then we'll open it up to some people out in the weeds there. Vasa, you're up.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Larry, for your service. And I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater calling from Florida. When it came to my own religion, it didn't help me, you know, with the food. And I did come from a very, very strict religious home. My father was a priest. As a matter of fact, I had to be the perfect daughter. I had to be a power of example for the world out there. So I had these high standards growing up. So in many ways, I was really, really relieved that to find out this was not a religious program. It was a spiritual program because I did have some bad experiences in my church growing up with a religion. And I was afraid from God, you know, because the way I grew up with a fearful, punishing God. But I had the gift of desperation, and I thank God that my first meeting was not in a church. It was in a hospital, I believe. And again, I was afraid going, especially if I was alone, the first person walking in the church meeting, you know. And my life has changed. I don't have that fear anymore. God has relieved me from those fears, certain fears. I still have other fears, but they're very much manageable. And I have had people that come from, sponsored people that come from very, very religion. You know, they know the Bible, they knew the scriptures, and they didn't want to hear anything about religion. But, you know, again, I mean, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't read the scriptures. I heard in church and whatever, you know. But I needed to find a power greater than myself. I did not find it in my church, you know. I mean, I've gone back to the church, and, you know, again, I had the gift of desperation, and I'm so grateful that this big book was given to me. The solution, the recipe is right here. And this is what has worked for me with the food, you know, food addiction, the allergy, the mental obsession, and what a gift. This is a gift from God, you know, again. And I thank God for inspiring this people to put this book together for me. I just needed to pick it up. They did all the work. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. Okay, so let's open it up to some other voices here. Who would like to jump in here?
Malaya.
Kim.
Reva P. Reva P.
Okay, I got Melissa. I heard Leia M, Sue G, Reva. I missed somebody in between there.
Monica.
Kim G.
I heard Monica. I got Kim G. Who else?
Paula B, perhaps.
Paula. Anybody else? Okay, let's go with this. I probably got it out of order, so my apologies for being challenged. I got Melissa, I got Leia M and Monica, I see Sue G and Reva and Kim G and Paula. So let's start with Melissa. Melissa, you're up.
Yes. Hi, good morning, Larry. It's Melissa G, recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, I'm so grateful that being religious wasn't a prerequisite for being recovered. And because when I, you know, when I came in again and again, I really, I was really angry at religion and God, and I was clinging to, you know, my own resentment because I felt God didn't give me what I wanted, and I was pissed. And, you know, not only did God not give me what I wanted, but in my experience, there were lots of religious people in my life who also didn't give me what I wanted. You know, I suffered a great tragedy, and the most religious people in my world weren't there for me. And so when I came in, I was so every time God was mentioned, I was annoyed. I was just annoyed by it. But I was enslaved. And so my bondage was greater than my annoyance. And that's just a beautiful thing. And so, you know, the spiritual experience, when I heard that it comes as a result of the steps, and just to lay aside whatever preconceived feelings, notions, prejudices that I had, and just do the work, that comforted me because I did hear people on this line saying that they were great. And I'm laughing because I remember also thinking, why is everybody screaming? And like this, and but it wasn't, it was joyful. It was a joyful excitement. And I wanted that more than anything. And so, you know, I trusted. I was desperate enough to trust and give myself completely over to the process. And so, you know, when I work with people now and I tell people now and they have a prejudice against this conception of God, you know, we don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to understand it completely to utilize it, but trust the process, give myself over, and then freedom is ours, you know. And so today, to be free, it means that I'm not in bondage by my prejudices anymore, and I'm not in bondage by the food anymore. I truly have an open mind, and it's a beautiful thing. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melissa. And now we have Leah M. Leah?
Thanks so much, Larry. While his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital experience. You know, in my personal experience in sponsoring, page 93 addresses this very nicely in the chapter Working with Others. It says, you know, his religious education and training may be far superior to yours. In that case, he's going to wonder how you can add anything since he already knows a lot, but he will be curious to learn why his own convictions have not worked and why yours seem to work so well. He may be an example of the truth that faith alone is insufficient. It also goes on to say on page 93, admit that he probably knows more about it than you do, but call to his attention the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it or he would not drink. He wouldn't be compulsively overeating. Perhaps your story will help him see where he failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. The 12 steps makes it clear here, the text makes it clear that ordinary religion and faith isn't enough. What we're talking about is a transforming experience, a conversion experience brought about by the 12 steps. You know, spiritual awakening reflects a personality change sufficient to overcome compulsive overeating. So that's the importance of the 12-step process, is that it takes these distorted drives and restores them to their true purpose and direction through the application of the 12 steps. So this is the importance of the 12 steps. Even if someone comes here, when I'm working with someone who might be religious or has deep faith, the reality is that their faith is insufficient. They don't have access to the power that they may believe in, because they would not be self-destructing if the power that they had in their lives was sufficient. My experience is that the steps remove the blockage between them and their God, whatever that might be, and restores them to sanity. So, you know, if there are believers out there and yet you find yourself, you know, binging your brains out at night, the steps will remove the blockage between you and God and, you know, offer a faith that it ends up being deeper and truly meaningful and impactful in your life and will restore you to sanity. So this is about a spiritual awakening, a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Just to give you a heads up, so we're going to have Monica, Sue, Reva, Kim, G, and then Paula. Harmonica, you're up.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning,
everyone. And you know what? Leah took every word that I was going to say because I was going to go 93 with you all, too. But anyway, I'm Monica, compulsive overeater, recovered here in Florida. So here's poor Roland, you know, and he's just been told by the doctor that telling him that while his religious conviction were very good, in this case, they did not spell the necessary, vital, spiritual experience. And here was a terrible dilemma in which he found himself. And this can be a big stumbling block, you know. A lot of us are very religious. Why hasn't this worked? And like Leah was pointing out on 93 and here, you know, there's something missing. There's more to learn is my experience. There was more I needed to learn. Something else I needed to experience. And what was that? Let me see. Let me get to 93 here. The one sentence that she didn't cover said, to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. So I take that as what's missing. I needed to work through the steps so I could get unblocked from my higher power and get that spiritual awakening, that personality change, you know, get new lenses so I could see what I couldn't see before and know that I had choices. And the big book, over and over in the big book from the very beginning, we see this underlying theme that's being told to us over and over and over again, that we must help others. To keep what we've been given, we gotta help others. So to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish construction action. So I too was very religious, always had been, when was, but there was something missing. And working through the steps definitely helped to improve this relationship, grow on a relationship with my higher power. And it was like, you know what? I also learned spirituality. What freedom, what great, you know, thank you, God, what this has done for me. But you got to work through those steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Monica. So we have Sue G followed by Reva. Sue G?
Hi, Larry. This is Sue G from Michigan. I love the share just a few shares ago about how we didn't have the religious ones. They call it, if Roland had the God consciousness, which is mentioned in spiritual experience for the religious ones, he would have had a chance, but he didn't have that personal relationship. And that's what I didn't have. I thought I did, but I didn't have that personal relationship with my God. I was controlling. I'd let him have everything but my food because I figured, oh, I'm in a church that teaches all about healthy eating. And even though if you looked at them, you'd wonder what in the world they were eating because they were all, a lot of them were overweight because they were vegans. And I just, it says faith without works is dead. I worked the steps. I was taken to the steps many times, but not on a spiritual plane and not teaching me how to do 10 through 12. I sponsored, but I've had to make amends to some of my past sponsors because I did not sponsor them from a spiritual, leading them toward a spiritual experience. And because I couldn't give away what I didn't have. It's coming slowly now. It's not going to be a big white, lightning bolt. But it's coming, and it may be, and praise God if it is. But I missed so much. I came from a loving loving church, loving God. I didn't have a punishing God. I didn't have a strict church. But my parents didn't go to church, and so I wasn't taught how to live my faith. And so my faith was dead. And it says in his case, in this case, he did not have the necessary vital spiritual experience. That's why I said that if he had the God consciousness, the 12 steps, you know, he would have had it. He would have had success. He would have put down the alcohol. He would have been successful. And that's what I'm going for now, is that God consciousness. I have the faith, but is it working? You know, is it committed? Am I doing? Is my faith dead, or, you know, is it alive? And thank God for vision for you. I'm learning how to bring it alive. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, so we have Reva followed by Kim G. Reva, you're up.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, everyone. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. I feel very passionate about these two paragraphs because for me, I had a very good religious education. I knew about all the laws and customs and rituals and why we did what we did and how to do it. But that totally did not help me with the food problem and the underlying living problem. And for me, my old concept of the God concept, that really irritated me, and it was uncomfortable when I heard it. And I realized early on that my old concept totally didn't work for me at all. If I was going to practice these principles and work the steps, I had to fire my old higher power, my old God, and I had to start the process of developing a new one. And for me, the difference with religion and spirituality, one of the big differences is the religion was over there, and it was like a knowledge and a custom thing, whereas the spiritual concept, really, I didn't come here to be spiritual. I came here because I couldn't control my food, and I didn't even realize, but I couldn't control anything in my life. My life was unmanageable. And I was told in step one that I had no power, and I was powerless, and I needed to develop a concept of a higher power, and I had to know that it wasn't me. So that's what I did. So then I went on and did the steps, and I needed something personal. I needed a concept that was going to take my hand off the fridge, because self-will wasn't working. I needed something or a power to help me with relationships, to help me function at work, to help me on a daily basis with what the little practical problems that I almost thought were too silly for a big God up there who's big with religion. And how did I do that? You know, step two just says that I come to believe. And all I have to do in step two is know that I need a power and that it's not me. And then there's a lot of steps between 2 and 11. 11 is where I have conscious contact and I have, you know, this access and relationship. And how do I get that? I just simply do the steps. So I remove the blocks. And as I'm doing the steps, I see my distorted thinking. I see how my thinking is 180 degrees backwards. And I start seeing the power infiltrate into all the practical challenges of my life, and then I have access to that. And that's something I never, ever had. So when I have challenges today, you know, how am I supposed to help my clients? How am I supposed to be the mother, the wife that my higher power wants me to be? Then I have that concept, that power, and I ask, because those are the things that drove me to binge my face off. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much. And we have Kim followed by Paula. Kim?
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. I want to look at this from a little bit of a different angle. He talks about being a good church member. And the doctor warns him, this is a warning, that his religious convictions were very good. In this case, it did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. So the way that I was looking at it this morning is, you know, from my own personal experience and working with others is, well, I've been in OA for 15 years. I'm a good OA member. You know, I there's a popular saying in my area called service is slimming. So I thought, well, I just have to do enough service and that's going to be enough. You know, I was the intergroup chair. I mean, I was on the region board. Isn't that, I'm a good standing member of OA. But I had to admit, regardless of all that stuff, I was constantly in relapse. I was coming back to the rooms again and again saying, I picked up. So whatever that education was that I got in the rooms was not sufficient. Being a good member of OA and coming to meetings does not create the vital spiritual experience. And the other side of it is I work with a lot of people who come from other 12-step programs. And the warning is the credits don't transfer. You know, if you worked a 12-step program in AA or NA or GA or any of these other A's and you cannot stop eating, you need to get another experience. It's not working the 12 steps in another program does not create the vital spiritual experience in this program. And that's very humbling. So for those of you who are like me, who've been in a good upstanding member of OA for many years, but are constantly relapsing, or maybe you're trying out OA from, and you're coming from another 12-step program and think, what can these OA people teach me about my big book, I'm an alcoholic? You know, ask yourself, is what you're doing is working? And what does that mean? So, I mean, can you keep the food down? And even more importantly, when the food is down, are you able to do that contently? Can you keep the food down and can you be happy about it? And if it's not, then I think there's some work to do. So check your own experience. This isn't just about white-knuckling it. This isn't just about coming to meetings and feeling okay among people who understand how we suffer. But do you want to be free? And that's the question I ask myself every day is how free do I want to be? Because coming into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous or being in any 12-step program without doing the step work is not sufficient and is to create the necessary vital spiritual experience. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. So we're gonna go with Paula, and then Hoodie's gonna read the next paragraph. So Paula, you're up.
And thank you, for your service today. This would be Paula D. Recovered compulsive overeater with and by the grace of God. You know, I'm going to settle into this paragraph here. Here was the terrible dilemma. You know, a dilemma is any difficulty or perplexing situation, a problem. Well, I got to tell you, I think our friend was quite perplexed. And I have to say, Carl Jung just kept him there. Because upon hearing this, our friend was somewhat, I'm coming back to where we are, was somewhat relieved. He reflected, after all, he was a good church member. Yeah, I was. And why was I living in hell? Why then was I living in hell? Good church member. And then I want to come here. Here was the terrible dilemma in which our friend found himself. There he was. And look at the words. He found himself. Whoa. Here's where I am. But I want to go on. When he had the extraordinary experience. You know, in the back of the book, and we all know the back of the book, oh, there are so many answers. But in this book, we're so grateful because it's the beginning, it's the preface, it's the middle, it's the end, because it's all. Look at what it says here at the end. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly, yeah, churchgoer living in hell, facing his problems, in the light of our experience, can recover, provided that he does not close his mind. Remember that jail cell? Just as effective. Closed mind, you're in a jail cell to all spiritual concepts. Why then did I believe a microbiologist, Louis Pasteur, said that there are germs all over? You can't see them. Why did I have no problem believing that? None at all. Because I saw that work. I saw things get infected. I saw the results of it. That's when it had to change. And I could see I was living in hell. And only then could I come to that place of being in heaven, a free man. Once you walk out and you're a free man, you see everything differently. I saw things that I didn't know, and it says it beautifully at the back of the book. Awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence. There it is, of spiritual experience. Can you put your hand on it? No. Can you live it? Yes. I hear so many on this line that do, and they transmit it well. With that, I pass, and I thank you.
Thank you, Paula. Okay, so Hoodie's going to be picking up on page 28, the first paragraph. Hoodie?
Good morning to you, Larry. Thank you. My name is Hoodie R., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. We, in our turn, sought the same escape with all the desperation of drowning men. What seemed at first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. A new life has been given us, or, if you prefer, a design for living that really works. And, this paragraph is also is a very, very, you know, packed paragraph as well. We in turn sought the same escape, and I'm thinking of, like, the step one that I had to, that I was drowning. I was drowning what I was going through. My life history, my experience was just going worse and worse down in that quicksand. And I just, like, think of that page 52 in the, you know, when it talks about the developments, we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear, and we were unhappy. And, I needed that step two, that flimsy reed, was just that small willingness and honesty and open my mind just a crack and be willing to listen to the person sitting across from me and telling me, listening and telling me and sharing her experience and the solution, the road that she was shining in front of me and that worked and then where she was at and told me exactly these clear cut, this design that worked, it worked as long as I follow exactly what she had done to experience my own transformation. And I just had to be willing to open, be honest with where I was at, open and willing to do something different, get out of myself and become teachable. And this new life, yes, this design of living, these 12 steps, when taken seriously and with work and effort, it does produce a transformation, a personality change. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Hoodie. We have time for one share.
James.
I would like to... Boy, Janice? James, quick trigger finger there. James,
oh.
If you're quick, maybe we'll pick up... is that Janice on the back end there?
Yeah, that is. That's
Janice,
okay.
I can assure you that James is going to be quick.
Oh, okay.
All right, James, go ahead. You're up.
Give me a head start there, Larry. Thank you for your service. Hey, I just want to say I just appreciate all the shares so far. You know, I thought about everybody on this call, though. You know, we're all different. You know, if everybody was out there like me and said it like me, saw it like me, and thought it like me, I would be bored to death. I'm challenged, I'm refreshed, I'm encouraged, and I'm inspired by some of the things that have been said, and thank you again for all your services. I just want to say a design for a living that really works. You know, and I thought about this, and it says, well, you know, I thought about a race car, even though I don't think of myself as a race car, but you look at a race car, and they're about a $500,000 or whatever the cost is, and, you know, not including the fuel maybe. But, you know, you don't see the acceleration or the performance of a race car unless it's on a racetrack. And the way I see this is it's, and I'm describing this to bring us to a closer analogy to the program. The program is the racetrack for us. It shows who's who, where are we at, not to say we're racing each other, but we're all racing against time, and we're all trying to perform in our daily lives, trying to do the will of God, you know. And, you know, some of us come from strong religious sides and strong spiritual backgrounds. And, you know, for me, although I've been over 30 years in the ministry, 30 years, been an assistant pastor, done various things, just wanted to say that I've never believed that religiosity ever got us anywhere near God, but we're all on a journey. Some of us start religiously, some of us start spiritually. But I was always, always spoke against and misunderstood because I knew that there was a spiritual solution. But I didn't know that while I was sitting in the church telling everybody else what they needed, that I was in the way. I was waiting on someone. And generally, I was waiting on somebody else as my excuse. But really, I was waiting on myself to take up finding God's will for my life, to finding a process that exposed and humiliated me and leveled me down to where I could see life for what it really was. And yeah, I hid behind the scriptures, I hid behind God, I hid behind the Seder, I hid behind all the religious things that are actually in the outer court. How much to bring, what do you bring to the sacrifice, what the sacrifice looked like, all the washings, all that stuff is outer court stuff. But I knew that I needed an inner court experience, an experience that got me into the face of God, that got me into a place where God was making the difference in my life because I knew my solution was going to be spiritual. But I didn't know that this program, I had no idea this program would bring me to that kind of clarity. So I want to just say that I have come into a design of living that is wonderful. You know, I'm no longer waiting on somebody else. I'm just allowing this process to have to have full course and have fun with it. That's the important part. I'm having fun with this process. And, you know, I have a long way to go, and I admit I know a little, but I know one thing, that I'm on a good track, and I'm on a good start, and I am not looking back, and I'm not regretting where I started and how I started. But I will tell you my experience is there for those who want to hear it and learn from it. But I will also tell you I have a long way to go, and it doesn't end until he says it's over. So with that being said, I want to say thank God for the program, for the process of this fellowship, my sponsor, and all that is involved. With that, I pass.
Thanks, James. Hey, Janice, can you hang out for the next session here, next hour? I appreciate it if you're able to do that. Because we're going to have to, unfortunately, have to close up here. Okay, so thank you to everyone who has shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. We're going to now close with a reading from our big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and would ask Renata if you'd be kind enough to read a vision for you.
Thank you, Larry, for your service. Good morning, family. This is Renata G., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in a fellowship of the Spirit, and you surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.